The Netball Show with Flyhawk, raising the bar for netball and women's sport.
Netball Show with Flyhawk. I don't want to look at the clock, so I'm not going to, but let's speak to somebody who was there and part of the broadcast team, Maddie Brown. Maddie, great to have you on the programme.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Diamonds overall, then. Let's have a look at them first of all. I want to look at Jo Weston's Netball World Cup. She's often taken for granted, but maybe that Clough and Bruce combo saw her have maybe less time on court than she would have liked.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I think, you know, obviously early on in the rounds, Australia rotated all of their different combinations and was kind of testing things out. And I totally agree with you. They didn't really play Jo Weston a lot. But then when it came to the crunch time and in those big games and big moments, she was the one that came through with the goods. I thought she was pivotal in the win against Jamaica and really important, obviously, in the gold medal match against England as well. She got some great little tips and, I think, you know, hand to some ball that obviously ended up being really crucial, as I mentioned. So, yeah, I think as a whole, if you were looking at it, you would have said she was quite early on. But, you know, in those situations, different players stand up in different moments. And I think when the time really counted, she was there and really performed for the Diamonds.
What about Ash Braz against Nat Metcalf? Obviously, going into that final, she'd maybe done that research that was needed. But that matchup in general was really nice to watch.
Yeah, well, I think last year at Commonwealth Games, I would have said Brazil definitely got the edge over Metcalf there. And then when it got to the rounds, I thought, oh, wow, you know, Nat's obviously gone and done her homework and looked at that game from last year and gone, well, I could have been so much better and where are some areas that I could have improved? And then obviously, once again, I just seem to think that they have a bit of a battle and it's just, you know, it depends on who's on top of their game. Obviously, Ash Brazil's retiring from the sport of netball now, so we won't get to see that battle anymore. But yeah, I would have said Nat probably got on top of Braz earlier on in the week when England won by 1 point in the rounds. But once again, I think, you know, that experience and that attention to detail from the Diamonds really shone in the big game and in that gold medal match. And when the cream of the crop had to rise, they all really stood up and played their individual roles. I think during the rounds, sometimes when the competition or opposition's a little bit weaker at times, you know, you see some really standout performances. You spoke about Bruce and Clough down that defensive end, but some of the unsung heroes were like a Jo Weston and even a Jamie Lee Price that just when the time counted and they needed their certain players to stand up, different players didn't. And we weren't speaking about just the same names all the time. There was different players in different moments. And that's probably the collective whole and why the Diamonds are so strong.
And going from that game initially into the final, give us an idea of some of the work that goes on in prep.
Well, I guess, you know, as being a player, you know, you look at last year's Commonwealth Games and this year's World Cup for the Diamonds, and both times had a loss during the rounds. And, you know, I think people at times were like, oh, questioning, oh, do the Diamonds really, are they as strong as they should be? And can they really go all the way? And in some respects, I think those losses have actually shown that, you know, you're not invincible to the Diamonds. And on any given day, anyone at their best can come and beat you. So you've got to be on your game and you can't just wait and require for, you know, as I said, some of those big game players or big moment players to stand up. It has to be the whole collective owning those critical moments and those clutch times when you really need to score. So I think, you know, we saw them rotate early on. They'd learnt a lot, I think, through a loss, but also learnt a lot through their wins. And then the preparation really came down to when they had to execute. It was all about that consistency. They'd had slow starts. They really worked on their slow starts. They'd gone and done probably some individual matchup work and sat down with the coaches individually and as units and worked on, all right, what are the strengths of the opposition, but what are our strengths as a team as well, and how can we counteract anything that they could potentially throw at us? So I also think, you know, it's that elite high-performance environment that the Diamonds are used to at Suncorp Super Netball. They know some of these players inside out, so they already have that understanding and understand the way they play, especially in the Jamaican game. I think you could see that knowledge of our SSN competition shining through. So, you know, when there is a short turnaround for some countries that have never played against certain players, they didn't have that understanding and knowledge and information that I think the Diamonds sometimes have in their back pocket, because we obviously have such an international competition in Suncorp Super League.
Yeah, no more so than maybe when Stacey brought on Sophie to play up against Jeeva, somebody that she's trained against and been there all year round, really.
Yeah, and you talk about that, like, you know, she would have trained on her week in, week out multiple times, and even obviously assistant coach of the Diamonds, Nicole Richardson, would have known Jeeva's game inside out. It goes both ways, I guess, you know. Jeeva would have had intel on the Diamonds and the Diamonds would have had intel on Jeeva and those English players that have been playing in Suncorp. But yeah, it's a matchup we don't get to see against each other because they obviously do it at training, and when they're played on the same team, we don't get to see it. So it was kind of cool to see some of those matchups. Same again, I love the Bruce and Janelle Fowler. We don't get to see that because they play together for FIBA. So seeing that kind of matchup happen, there were some really good standout kind of matchups that was great to see on the international level at the World Cup.
She's always a great tournament player. What about Lizzie Watson's Netball World Cup?
I think Liz was just kind of consistent Liz. And I think at times, you know, some of those top players that, you know, we do put on a really high pedestal and we always expect them to perform and expect them to stand out. I don't think Liz was probably having anything below par or anything out of the ordinary. She was just consistent Lizzie. And at times, I think we saw her leadership and how good she is in those moments and how she brought other people into the game and how those people felt kind of empowered and confident to be able to stand out, not, oh, I've got to do this all on my own. So I think it's been great to watch her. Obviously, I remember when she first came onto the scene and I played with her in 2014 and see how she's not only developed as a player, but definitely developed as a leader. And her and like Steph Wood was obviously outstanding with the ball in hand, but I thought both of them really controlled the whole kind of emotion and like just even the body language and just really kind of brought the team and that unity together. And you could see throughout being on the ground, you could see the way that they interacted and worked together and brought that fun element, but also that serious, we've got a job to do, we've got to get it done, into obviously their matches, but also away from the court as well. So I don't think we talked a lot about Liz. There were, as I said, there was a lot of other names that we mentioned quite a lot in the coverage because they had some standout performances. But Lizzie, once again, just a true legend and like competitor of the game that just continues to consistently put out solid performances. So she set this high benchmark and she's either got to surpass it and we go, oh, wow, Liz Watson. But she's just good, hardcore Lizzie Watson. She was great.
Speaking of the coverage, you would have worked with Gordy in the past, but what about working with people like Pamela Cookie, Caroline Barker, obviously well-known here, and just some of the other names that you've worked with?
Oh, Annie, to be honest, I think that was probably the best part of the whole experience for me as a broadcaster. Obviously, as a player, I never got to go to a Netball World Cup, but I've gone and experienced it in a totally different light and kind of role, and it was awesome. I think I learned a lot from working with, obviously, as you said, the English commentators in Pam Cookie and Ebony and Caroline, you know, learning how they work their craft and the way they talk about the game and taking on some of that information from them and even the Kiwis as well. Anna Stanley and Jenny Woods had got to have a bit of a go with them in January. But, you know, it was like, and blending even with the South Africans, like every nation does netball slightly different in the way that they operate and they talk about it. So
yeah,
I love learning off them. And as you said, some of them have been around for many, many years and I feel like I'm just a rookie on the scene. So it was like soaking in all the information you can and testing and just kind of like even talking to them and saying, how do you prep for this? And what are your notes on that? And how do you pronounce these names? So it was a really good learning experience for me and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And it was a privilege to be part of, I guess, history in the making, a full women's not only broadcast team but also crew. So yeah, it was very much a historic Netball World Cup.
Probably noticed some in the crowd as well, but some of the Diamonds fans' banners, which included Duncan Cornuts, Sophie Golden, and my personal favorite, Elementary, my dear Watson.
I know. I mean, look, I don't think us Aussies are usually known for our humour. We're kind of pretty dry at times. You know, we're usually the ones watching, you know, British comedy and things like that and finding that quite funny. So, yeah, I think it was great to see, you know, not only Australian fans but also world fans of netball and them all wearing their colours. And it was quite interesting seeing some of them rock up at the airport, and they had multiple suitcases, and you're like, how long are you staying for? And they're like, well, one's our costumes and one's our travel gear. So people had really gone to quite an effort to make sure they brought over their stuff. They had all the colors that they needed, but I found it a real cultural experience. I thought it was great to kind of see how Africa embraced the Netball World Cup and really put on a show, and the dancing and singing, regardless of the results and regardless of the state of play, they were just up there creating a vibe. It was just a vibrant kind of energy that electrified the arena. So it was incredible to be a part of and experience that and witness what world netball was like in obviously Africa.
Nat Metcalf here. I'm really proud to be an ambassador for Flyhawk, leading the way for netball and women's sport. Flyhawk design and make netball dresses, have netball kit, netball team wear, and netballs, plus much, much more. Head to flyhawk.com now.
It's a netball show with Flyhawk. We're speaking to Maddie Brown about her involvement with the Netball World Cup. Maddie, let's have a quick word on Rob Wright in Jamaica. Obviously, positive signs for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, we've seen that over the last 2 years, Jamaica really kind of show what they're capable of, and they are still a young side. I still think in those moments when sometimes it does get a little bit tough, and that mental resilience, I think, from some of those nations that have competed more in those pressure situations and in those big finals tended to kind of shine through a little bit. And you could see in certain moments, as I said, they just couldn't find the right things to do. But, you know, I know there was a lot of talk in Australia about our SSN competition, you know, oh, we're only bringing the rest of the world closer. But I think it's great for world netball. We needed this to happen. We need more international players to be able to come out and play. And I actually think, you know, you could probably say New Zealand on the flip side, Jamaica's definitely improved because they have been part of our competitions, obviously over in the Super League in England, but also in the Suncorp in Australia, because they're constantly playing against these top level players and being exposed to that high performance environment week in, week out. New Zealand, on the other hand, have obviously kind of closed their borders and, you know, really restricted any of their national players playing abroad. And, you know, their worst netball World Cup results in history. And you potentially could question, you know, is that because you're not exposed to these different styles and different players week in, week out in your league? And then when you get to the international stage, you've only got one game to get it right and you just can't quite find your groove. So it'll be interesting to see what happens maybe in the next coming years and whether those borders open up and whether we see more players either go across to you guys in England or come down under to Australia.
Dame Knowles will definitely be disappointed with that.
Oh, I think, of course. I mean, she would have had high expectations and hopes that, you know, they could have replicated what they did 4 years ago in Liverpool. And I thought, you know, absolutely, when Grace Nwehi was in the team, they were a real threat. But it just, unfortunately for them, that really kind of derailed their campaign, losing Grace. And, you know, it was great to obviously see their replacement player get a go. But at the end of the day, you know, just that strength and that powerhouse of Nwehi under the post, they really struggled to then find ways to score and be dominant on the scoreboard.
Similar disappointment as well for South Africa, not to reach in that final, a bit similar to England when we held it last.
Yeah, I think, you know, speaking to a lot of the South African commentators, they were devastated. You know, I think during the rounds when they kind of took it up to New Zealand and took it up to Jamaica, they thought, oh, we could really be a threat here. But yeah, once again, when it came to the really critical moments in those big games, they just fell short. You know, the interesting thing for a team like South Africa is they are aging quite as a whole. And, you know, in the next couple of years, you fear that there might be quite a few retirements within that list. And where are they finding that depth? But yeah, I think they were very disappointed, especially being on home soil and wanting to put on a performance in front of their crowd. But as I said earlier, their fans and supporters, regardless of the state of play and regardless of how the match was unfolding, they were still very, very supportive and still cheering loudly. And I do think a Netball World Cup as well, you know, I talked about those retirements just before, but, you know, it unearthed some really young, exciting new talent that's about to hit the world stage and maybe come to those, you know, major tournaments or major leagues, as I mentioned, you know, ANZ, SSN and Super League. So I thought Vanderburg for South Africa is a really exciting new talent to see emerge. Uganda as a whole, didn't they put on an absolute show? Some young Jamaicans in the midcourt, I think that's always been their struggle point, but they started to stand up and show that they're as capable as their bookends. So, yeah, I think the Netball World Cup was exciting to see that there's some great talents coming through the ranks, and world netball looks to be in a really positive space.
And I'll happily ask an Australian about this, but how did you think England did overall?
Oh, look.
Helen Housby got player of the tournament, so that says it all.
Yeah, but Andy, don't you want to win the whole thing? Don't you want your hands on that?
Well,
we'll
take what we can.
Of course. No, I think England, to be honest, I think a lot of people were sceptical as to what they could or how they could perform. Once again, had a lot of experienced players and maybe weren't in great form potentially during their domestic seasons, and how could they merge together? So I think they really kind of, had to shut some mouths up and said, you know what, we're definitely still got some grit and some guts and watch us go. And, that performance to make it to a gold medal match, I mean, it's huge. As we said, it's history in the making. So I think obviously maybe just that semi-final to get in there kind of maybe took a little bit of emotional toll on the team. And once again, I think the Diamonds had just gone back and done their homework and gone, all right, well, we could be so much better, and we gave England opportunities during that round game. Let's not keep them in the mix at all, because they knew how threatening they were. But overall, I think England should be really proud with their campaign, because they definitely put some people back in their boxes and said, absolutely, the Roses are still here and still very strong.
Yeah, Ash, Braz and Jeeva played their last game internationally in that final as well. That's pretty fitting. Go out on a high.
Oh, absolutely. And I was lucky enough to obviously interview Ash Brazel after the game and said to her, you know, what does this mean? And I think she was just like, I'm so exhausted. Like, it's so hard to put into words sometimes in that right moment. But I'm sure now, a couple of weeks on from the tournament, you know, reality is setting in, and, you know, you get that time to reflect and go, wow, how special. Like, everyone would love to go out either with a premiership or a Commonwealth Games gold or world champion, be called a world champion in your very last match of the game. So both of those players, as you said, Brazil and Mentor, have done a lot for their countries, but especially Jeeva, 6 Commonwealth Games and World Cups. I mean, outstanding. I mean, it makes my niece cry just thinking about it. So she's done exceptionally well, and it's been a pleasure, I guess, to both play with them both, but also watch them do their thing for so long.
Is a move to the Super League for you?
Yeah.
On the cards?
I would love to say yes, but I think that ship has unfortunately sailed. I guess the timing for me with COVID hitting and just where my body was physically after SSN. Not to say that I'd never, ever come over. Maybe it won't be on the court. Maybe it's a more of an off-court role. It's great to see, obviously, Jeeva go back home. And I think she'll provide a lot for the lead Rhinos or wherever she's going, I think. Has that been announced? I don't even know.
It is
Rhinos. Okay. She's going to the lead Rhinos. So I think she'll do a lot for that team and definitely a lot for country netball. She's done a lot in community netball and doing up clinics and things like that. So I think she's ready to kind of go back and give not only back to obviously where it all started for her, but back to some youngsters and start developing a really good pathway for the future England Roses.
Lisa Alexander after the World Cup tweeted, amazing and inspirational women. It's nice that Lisa is still a big supporter of the game.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of people, once they are like out of it or not in those coaching roles, I think we all, whether we're players or coaches, we love the sport so much. We just want to get back, give back to where we can, and we can always continue to support and, make sure that netball is always in a really good place. I think having just even obviously coming back home to Australia and witnessing the FIFA World Cup, it's been incredible to see what women have been doing, especially netball. We've been doing it for so long, kind of paving the way and being the leaders in some women's sports, but seeing it now in different codes of soccer and cricket, basketball, and obviously netball, it's amazing to see what women are doing and the recognition that people are getting. So I know we got the World Cup over you, Andy, in netball, but, last night kind of hurt against the Matildas, so you got one back on us with the Lionesses, so you can take that one.
It's just slowly getting that way that it's a bigger audience.
Yeah, and I think it is, like, you know, a lot of people say it's women championing women rather than being threatened that, you know, one's going to get more sponsorship and one's going to make more money. I think for so long, each sport was trying to do it on their own and trying to make every bit bigger, where it's like, why don't we utilize all of our platforms, as we said, and promote across all codes, women, men, and use all of that media platform to really kind of, as I said, champion all sports, not just the ones that maybe bring in the money or get paid the most.
Final question, we touched on it, but the next Netball World Cup 2017 is going to be in Sydney. Just the importance of that, obviously, given the history as well, and it's going to be special. I'm going to start saving now.
Yeah, I think the last time, obviously, in 2015, when we held the Netball World Cup, it was a huge success and it was great. Obviously, I wasn't playing. I'd done my knee, but I still got to go up and be a part of it. And I know after Africa hosting it, Australia will be eager to make sure that we can showcase the best of Australia, but also bring the best netballers to our home soil and really put on a show. And as I said, yeah, I think you're right. Save up now, because netball's only going in the right direction. It's going upwards. So it would be great to see as many world global fans of the sport come in and support it. And yeah, it's exciting times, because as I said, I think the Netball World Cup 2023 in Africa will be one to remember. And we've seen some nations be tested. Some show that they're ready for the next challenge to step up. And it's not just a four-team race anymore. There's multiple teams that can come up and challenge on any given day. So it's exciting, as I mentioned, to see where world netball is right now.
Brilliant, Maddie. Thank you for your time. Have a good rest of
the
evening.
No worries. Thank you, Andy. Enjoy your day. Go back to sleep if you need to. Otherwise, we'll speak to you soon.
The Netball Show is now also available via Sky HD, Sky Q and Sky Glass. Select sports and we're on the podcast's rail.